Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
This is Brett.
Hey, this is David. Oh, hello. This is David.
You know, David is standing where Andy usually does, and I think it's something that it happens at that mic. You have to say hey instead of hello. This is Gilbert, and we'd like to welcome you to Come and Reason Together through the Bible. So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We are going to look at Matthew 7, 7. Does anything strike you about that particular verse? 7, 7? I've noticed in the Bible, certain things are put certain places in certain positions, and they're meant to be exactly there. So this is Matthew 7. 7 is a number of completeness or perfection. David, you got a pen and Bible. Why don't you read Matthew 7, 7?
Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you.
Now, how about reading the whole context? And we're going to look at Matthew 7, 7 about asking, seeking, and knocking.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in the eye of thy brother, but considerest not the beam that is in thine eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine eye? Hypocrite! Cast out first the beam out of thine eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of the eye of thy brother. Give not what is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest happily they shall trample them under their feet, and should turn and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and who seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it is being opened. Or what man of you, who if his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or also if he shall ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye therefore, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in the heavens give good things to them that ask him? All things, therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, thus do ye also to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Does this context seem to take a right turn right in the middle of it and then circle back around? Because it starts off with, don't judge, lest you be judged. And at the very end, it says, all things, whatever you do that men would do to you, do to them also. So you're getting back into judgment. Then he gets into casting your pearls before swine. Well, first he gets into taking a mote out of your brother's eye, or a, what does it say? To take, why do you behold the mote in your brother's eye and you don't consider the log or the beam in your own eye? And then it talks about seeing clearly, and then it gets into casting your pearls before swine, or what about dogs?
Give not what is holy to the dogs.
Not to give what is holy to the dogs, or casting your pearls before swine. And then in the middle of all this, it makes an interesting statement. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and a door will be opened unto you. It's like a little treasure in this treasure box that's hidden in this. First, it starts off, don't judge lest you be judged. And it ends with, do to others what you would have them do to you. But right in the middle is this pearl. It's holy, and it is a pearl, and it tells us to ask, seek, and knock. Well, I was reading in my new version of the Bible, the Christian Standard Bible, and I was reading that 7:7, and it didn't say that. In King James Bible, in verse 7, it's, do you have a King James there, Brett?
Yeah.
If you would please read verse 7 in King James.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Okay. And in Rotherham's, it also had an interesting translation, but I'm going to read you my Christian Standard Bible first. Keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep seeking, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. What? King James and Pannon say ask, seek, and knock. My Christian Standard Bible says keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And I found a lot of other errors in this Christian Standard Bible. I happened to buy it, and I went all the way through it and made lots of notes and a lot of changes according to the Greek. But this one, I'm going, I got to check this out. This doesn't look right. I'll bet you Pannon's is right. But Rotherham's usually right too, and usually Rotherham's and Pannon's agree. So I went to my Rotherham's Bible. This is what Rotherham says. Be asking, and it will be given to you. Be seeking, and you will find. Be knocking, and it will be opened unto you. Now, what does it mean to be asking, be seeking, and be knocking? What does it mean?
Sounds like it's a continual process. It's active.
It is. It's something that we keep doing. It sounds like that, right?
Sounds like that.
Yeah. Well, so now we have two disagreements. We have Pannon's. On one hand, he says ask, seek, and knock. And we have King James. They say ask, seek, and knock. Christian Standard Bible says keep asking, keep seeking, and knocking. Rotherham says be asking, be seeking, be knocking. Where do you think we'll go next?
To the Greek.
To the Greek. So I looked up this word ask in an interlinear, aitete, A-I-T-E-I-T-E. If you want to write that down, A-I-T-E-I-T-E in the English, aitete. And I won't spell it in the Greek. We're not going to get that fancy here. And seek and knock, zetete. In the seek is seek, and knock is krute. Sounds like crouton, doesn't it? Krute. Well, then I went to my Stiganga, pages 37, 326, and 440, and I looked up all those words, and guess what? What tense do you think they'd be?
Probably in present tense.
Present, and what does present tense mean, Brett?
Meaning doing something constantly. You're having to continually do it.
And guess what? It is in the present tense. So we can truly say it's keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Well, if you keep asking, seeking, knocking, does it mean you'll never find it, or you'll never get it, or the door will never be opened? Or what do you think that maybe sounds like?
Sounds like it's something that's going to be continually a process in our life to learn new things. And we will get answers as we go along, but then there'll be more to learn later.
Well, you know what I found is you ask for one thing and God will give that to you. And then there'll be more to ask for as you go along and God will give that to you. You'll always receive, and there'll be something else to ask for and you'll get that too. There'll be something you'll seek for and you'll get that. Well, the doctrine of baptisms. Is there just one baptism?
It's in the plural.
Right. And even New Testament baptism, there's a baptism in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And John says, I baptize in water, but he that comes after me who's mightier than I, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So there's that one. And then into one spirit, we'll all baptized into one body. There's three baptisms. So I want to seek all three of those out. There's more here than what meets the eye. It's not just, okay, I found it. You know, like the old bumper stickers, I found it. There's more than one it. It should be, I have found one of them. That needs to be the new bumper sticker. I found one of them, and there's more. There's a continual process until we come to the fullness of Jesus, right?
Sure.
I wonder what we're supposed to ask for first. I know we're supposed to ask for one thing, because there's a likeness of this in Luke, I think it is, that we're to ask for. But did you know there's other things we're supposed to ask for? There's actually something we're to ask for before we get it.
Before we get it.
Yeah. There's something we ask for before we get it. And we'll find out what it is too. Am I talking in riddles? Well, I'm not done here yet. Second person, plural, you all, present, now. Guess what kind of mood this one's in? Take a stab at it. Go ahead, Brett. What do you think mood?
Where am I looking at?
What kind of mood in the
Greek?
What
kind of mood in the Greek?
Is what word?
Is this word ask, seek, and knock? All three of them.
Oh, command.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what your senses tell you. It's a command, imperative mood.
When I look at it right on the page, it's like ask. Like you have to ask and you have to seek and you have to knock. Because if you're not doing those, you're not going to get whatever it is. There's no other way to get whatever it is that you're supposed to
get. Did you
know
what your natural inclination is, Brett, is right? You get the prize. You
yes.
win. And it's in the active voice. And what did we say that is?
A command.
A command to take action. Active voice means the person hearing this,
Excuse me.
You all are commanded to take action. The people hearing, it requires action. This is in the case of all three. Keep asking, it's a command, now. Take action, keep seeking, it's a command, now. Take action and keep knocking. It implies there's more than one door. Keep knocking. Now, does that make sense? There's more than one door here. So who would be the winners in the translation war here above King James and Penance?
Well, your translation is really good. Which one do you say it was?
CSB, Christian Standard Bible.
It was good there, and along with Rotherham's.
Right. Did you know we use about 16 versions of the Bible, David? About 16 to compare. And when you see a difference, it throws you right back to the Greek. Check out the Greek. And you cannot go wrong with King James Bible. That's the basis of our teachings and so on. Anyway, we're going to go on to what do we ask for? Ask and it will be given. What is it? And we are to seek and you will find. And what is it we're going to find? And knock and it shall be opened unto you. So what do we ask for first? Let's go to Jeremiah 6:16 and see what we need to ask for. There'll be more. There'll be other things that we need to ask for. So David, why don't you read that? And Brett, why don't you get Proverbs 14:12?
Okay, this is Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it.
Well, here's the good way, but we're not going to walk in it. That's kind of a bad attitude, wouldn't you say?
Guess so.
Oh, my goodness. So it says, thus says Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Did Moses walk in the way?
Yes.
Did Abraham walk in the way?
Yes.
Yep.
They walked in the way called faith. It was a faithful way. They walked in the way. Did Isaiah walk in the way?
Yes.
Did King David walk in the way?
Certainly.
Wow. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. It'll be the same all throughout the Bible. It'll be a path that men walked in faith, believed in God. They saw their Savior at a distance, and they kept walking towards the Lord. They didn't walk according to their own pernicious ways, to their own likings. They put the Lord in their foresights, and they got on the way, and they walked in the way. So the first thing it says is ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Doesn't that sound like the same tenor where it says ask, seek, and knock? It's present to keep asking, and it's a command, and it means to take action. Does that scripture really sound like the same kind of mood and everything?
Sure it does. Seems to fit right in there.
The wording and everything almost sounds really familiar. Proverbs 14:12.
Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death."
So where does man's way lead to, Brett?
Leads to death or destruction.
But does it seem right to the man?
Seems right to them. They think they're on the right path, but I'm sure they don't realize that it leads to death.
One time I was heading down a hill. I used to do timber cruising in Southern Oregon, and I was heading on a path, and the way looked really good in front of me. It was a steep hill, and there were big trees, and I would go from tree to tree. It was so steep that I would actually run into trees. I would use the trees as a break, and I'd head for that tree to stop me. And then I'd look ahead and check the way out, and then I'd run to the next tree, and I'd run into that tree. And I didn't have too much speed where I'd break my hands or anything, but I'd go jumping down the hill, and it was loose shale, so I'd kind of almost ski down the hill really fast. And then I went to this one tree, and I looked around the corner, and I was right above about a 100-foot drop-off down to rocks, then the Rogue River below me. And that was obviously the way to death, and I had to alter my course. But it seemed right to me. I couldn't see much ahead of me. And mankind, how far ahead of you can you see? Now, I'm going to ask you not distance, but time, Brett. How far ahead of yourself can you see?
Not very far, as far as that goes. I mean,
would you give it a 1 or a 10 or maybe a 0? Which one would you give it?
I would say a 0, to be honest, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And people try and plan around that, but your plans can change.
How about the next second? We don't know. Maybe a meteorite's heading this way right now. We don't even know the next second.
Exactly.
You could even have a heart attack or something.
Yeah. And it seems good. The way I'm walking seems good. Hey, it's worked so far, but I'm getting older. I have a lot of things to consider. And it says that there is a way. So we are to ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it. But there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it's the way to death. Let's go to Matthew 3:3. Once you get that, David, in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, if you'd read that, Brett. The first thing we need to do is find out where the good way is to get up on that way, the ancient path, and to walk in it. So first thing we have to do is ask for the way. How can you walk in the good way if you don't first find it? You got to ask for the good way. Then you got to get up on the good way. It's called a highway. And then you have to walk in it.
Now, do you want me to read the context or just
sure.
the verse?
You can certainly read that.
Okay, so I'll be reading verses 1 through 12 in Matthew 3. "Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham for our father." For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham, and the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. And he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
It's kind of interesting. We just talked about that same thing. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Brett.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Okay. Narrow is the gate, and straight is the way, or straitened is the way, that leads to life, and few are those that find it. So we have man's way that leads to death. We have the straight way called the ancient path or the good way that we are to ask for. And the gate is narrow. It is so narrow, we have to take off all of our clothes. And our clothes being man's righteousness is like filthy rags. We got to take all of our own righteousness. We've got to start afresh. We got to start anew like Adam and Eve. They had to take off that clothing made of fig leaves, which are quite scratchy, by the way. And God made them new clothes of animal hide to cover their nakedness. We likewise cannot fit clothes for ourselves. We have to let the Lord make us new clothing. So this gate is so narrow, we cannot take anything but our bodies through it. Not our own righteousness. We have to go in through plumb naked. Well, not naked physically like you would think, but we cannot take any righteousness. It's nothing we do for ourselves. We have to go in just us, nothing belonging to us. We just go in, and it's so narrow, we squeeze through, and the way is straight that leads to life. And how many people find it?
Says few. Few there be that find it.
And how many people are on the wide path called Broadway?
Many.
And where is that one going?
To destruction.
Yeah. So we're going to continue on and look at this way that leads to life that we are to ask for. And we also need to ask the question and keep seeking and you will find. So what are we going to find along the way? And apparently there's going to be a door and it says knock. And it will be opened unto you. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting that that proverb where it was talking about there's a way that seems right to a man. Well, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. Going to Matthew 7:13, many are on this broad way. So this path that seems right to a man is a very broad path. And there's a lot of people that go on it, and its end is also destruction. So you're going to find a lot of people on that.
And that's called man's way. The man's broad way is also known as man's way, and it leads to death. And many are on that path already.
And many don't even know it. They don't know that they're really on that path.
Like I didn't know hopping down the hill until I took that one final look and reassessed. And until we meet again, may God lead you to the straight way.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.